This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. It is Overreaction Monday, presented by The Phone Exchange. You know what we do Mondays during football season. No guests today. We want to hear from you. I do want to hear from you. A couple things we got to talk about as we fire up the G3 Help Me Hotline. Go ahead and take a shot, 865-546-8200. We're brought to you by The Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, trade pre-owned phones. We appreciate their sponsorship these many years, getting our Monday shows rolling during football season, getting those phones popping. They got a new location out in Alcoa on Gill Street. Go check them out. Tell them Fan Run sent you. The Phone Exchange, of course, the original up there on Bearden Hill, right next to Soccer Taco. Good afternoon, Bear. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, Russ.
Fired up, focused, and prepared for an Overreaction Monday. Jake Miller is here with me in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. And let's get right into it. Let's get right into it, folks. It is Florida week. You know what that means.
Go Gator.
Well, It hasn't been fun traditionally, and it hasn't been very competitive the last 3 years. But I want to start by reiterating kind of what I said last week to start Overreaction Monday, which is keep your expectations in check as we go along here, folks. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the voluntary reaction Saturday after the game. If you didn't, you can go back and check out the podcast to kind of get a little feel of what I'm talking about. But, man, the mood on that left me a little bit shaken yesterday, I must say. Just because, I realize it's 56-0. Okay, it's Tennessee Tech, whatever. We just kind of we wiped the memory, the hard drive clean, and move on to the task at hand, which is SEC play. But, Tennessee fans who are all of a sudden just moving on and looking at Florida as if they thought that we were going to have any other outlook than what we have on that game, just it boggles my mind. And I come back to this, which is this season is not about wins and losses. It's the first year of a new coaching staff taking over after a terrible season, on top of which you have the terrible play, you have the cloud of NCAA investigation and an exodus of many of our best players from a team that wasn't that good to begin with. What did you think was going to be the case going down to Gainesville to take on the defending SEC Eastern Division champions? Even if they hadn't shown up better than they did against Alabama, even if Bama had gone down there and wiped the floor with them like many of us thought they would, like, what did you really think that you were going to go down there with some expectation to win?
And I didn't.
I know that the broken record aspect of this is frustrating. It's frustrating to me. It's frustrating to all Tennessee fans. This is the fourth time we've gone through this in 12 years. Once every 3 years, it gets old. And Tennessee fans, to their credit, they got up for the Derek Dooley. When Dooley told us, well, it's year zero, like, it kind of made sense at the time. Like, we get it. It's our third coach in 3 years. Nobody had any big expectations in 2010. When Butch came in 2013, we realized, okay, you're taking over for Dooley. We don't have any offensive linemen because he didn't recruit any. All right, we're going to give you this year, and really 2 years, Butch got a two-year honeymoon, before there are any real expectations on the program. Pruitt came in, same thing, and now it's the fourth time in 12 years that we've been told to be patient. We don't have any more patience, okay? I get that. We're all out of patience for Tennessee football rebuilds, and we're through just trusting these guys on blind faith. But, look, I mean, you can shout into the void all you want, be mad about it all you want. It is what it is, man. You're a Tennessee fan, and you can stop being a fan and not care about it, or you could just, like, have these unrealistic expectations and expect to win this weekend. It's not going to happen, most likely. But to me, Bear, I don't look at this as some sort of measuring stick game against Florida this weekend. I don't. It's an impossible standard to live up to. But I see two huge measuring stick games when we talk about realistic expectations coming down the pike. Missouri and South Carolina are teams that even on paper, Tennessee should be better than. If you look at the 247 talent composite, we have more talent than both of those programs. You've got South Carolina at home. They looked awful the other day. Missouri looks a little bit better. They're in the second year of Drinkwitz down there. They're probably going to put some points on the board against us. But to me, those are the measuring stick games. And Bear, they always have been. I never expected to expect to win this week, if that makes any sense.
It does. I never expected – I don't expect to win down there, even when we've got great teams, just because it's – I mean, it's a swamp. But I do think this weekend will be a – give us a good sign, you know, a good indicator of where we're at. Now, we may not like it, but it'll be a good measuring stick. Maybe not as good as some of the other ones. And I get what you're saying about tempering expectations. And, you know, I kind of blew up during voluntary reaction.
Your behavior was noted by many as being over the top.
Defense, I was sitting here watching Florida and Alabama. I just kind of snapped.
Little extra. Little extra, as the kids say.
I wouldn't say it was over the top.
No?
No. I mean.
Frustrated, Russ.
Yeah.
You want me to go over the top again? You're making me mad.
No. Wait, listen, like I said, if you want to hear Bear do the thing, like, you can go back and listen to that. But my thing, and I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to all the callers we had who call in. Like, this was never about wins and losses the first season. We should know this by now. We've been through season one of a new coaching regime so much. It's not about wins and losses, and that sucks. But it is about laying the foundation for the future, incremental improvement, identifying playmakers, establishing a style, an identity. And you have to, when you have a chance, you won a ball game 56-0. I mean, that's a chance to kind of sit back and prop your feet up and take a little breather. But we've become such an all-or-nothing fan base and such an all-or-nothing society that we can't even enjoy wins, as meaningless as they are. I will submit to you that the loss we are likely to take this Saturday is just as meaningless as the win we took last Saturday. It's not about wins and losses. It's about changing the culture, laying the foundation, whatever platitude you want to spew. Like, it, I know we don't like it, but
I mean,
that's the truth.
That's the problem, though. We're tired of it, man. And we've been changing the damn culture for 10 years.
Yeah, I get it, but
I mean, there's a growing segment of us that are just fatigued by it all.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Bear. I don't think those people are listening anymore. I think those folks have tuned out. So for you do what you want, Jake, you do what you want, and callers, you do what you want. I'm not telling you how to think, but the way I'm approaching this is from a realistic standpoint of it is what it is. We're Jeremy Pruitt, Chernobyl, the program, and I get the frustrations, but I choose to look at it realistically. And look, it sucks to be waving the white flag Florida week and everything. I don't know, man. We'll talk about it more as we get into the week, but I just look at it as you go down there, hopefully with Joe Milton, hopefully with some more healthy players on the offensive line, hopefully Small gets back, hopefully you're a little bit healthier, you go down there, and man, you just let it all hang out and let Milton throw it 80 yards 5 times, man. Let him throw it 90 yards 20 times. I don't care. Just go down there and see what happens. And if you get housed, you get housed just like everybody thought you would all year long, going back to the summer, and you burn the tape. Who cares? Don't even watch it again. Go get ready for Missouri, because that's the game. That's the game that matters. When you're where you are right now, that Missouri game matters more than the Florida game. It just does. That's a game you have a chance to win.
I realize that. I'm not saying you aren't. Everything you're saying isn't true. But it's, I don't know. I don't know if it was just watching that Florida-Alabama game or what, and just realizing how, you know, that we don't matter in the grand scheme of things when it comes to college football anymore. It's just kind of a bitter pill to swallow.
It's a bitter pill to swallow, but here's the thing, and not to go all Sigmund Freud on you, but that's a choice you make. Like, if you're just going to look at it at the glass half empty standpoint and bemoan the fact that we did hire Jeremy Pruitt and we did hire Botch and Dooley, and just worry about the last 10 years and be mad about the fact that you can't have exactly what you want right now. Like, okay, you could do that, but that's a surefire route to misery. And that's not the way I'm going to look at it.
I get that. I'm just saying I don't think that anything – I don't really have much hope that anything's going to – I think we'll be right back here in 3 years.
Oh, God. You don't know that, man. Why would you say that? Why would you say that? How could you possibly know that? You're basing that entire take off the last 10 years. Nothing about Josh Heupel or Danny White or what's happening right now has any bearing on whether or not that's going to be true.
My problem is I don't have that big of a problem with Heupel. My biggest problem is with White.
Okay. I mean,
just another bad hire.
Well, I mean, you hired him. He's here. So, I don't identify with that at all. But tell us what you think about it. 865-546-8200. We want to hear from you. The G3 Help Me Hotline is wide open on this Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be live at Craven Wings out west, North Shore on Chodo. It's a T-Fair Tuesday. Terry Fair is going to be hanging out with us for the entire show tomorrow out there at Craven Wings. And I know Jake had a chance to go out there over the weekend. I want his full and complete review coming up here in just a little bit. But right now, we want to hear from you. We're going to go over the 5 things I want to see and see if we saw those. It was kind of an interesting list this past weekend for the Tennessee Tech affair. We'll do that coming up next. Your phone calls as well. Stay with us. It's The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. All right, back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. It's a wild weekend in the NFL as well. It's not done yet. You got Lions-Packers, black and blue division affair tonight, Monday Night Football. And the Packers, a big favorite there, 11.5. And if you don't think the game's going to be that entertaining, I'll tell you a way to make it more entertaining is to go over to FanDuel and put together yourself a same-game parlay. FanDuel giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week this season, the NFL. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay. Bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. So you head on over to FanDuel right now, and you look at all the different betting options there. Again, you pick three, so anytime touchdown scorer, you can bet that. Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, Tonyan, DeAndre Swift. I need a little help from DeAndre tonight for my fantasy football game. Wouldn't mind seeing him pop in the end zone a couple of times. Aaron Rodgers passing yards, Jared Goff passing yards, all kinds of stuff that you can use to put together your parlay tonight over at FanDuel. No feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet. Lock yours in today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. If you are new to FanDuel, sign up today with our promo code DRIVE1 to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, boys. We are going to take another look back here at the Tennessee Tech game. Of course, Tennessee shuts out the Golden Eagles from Cookeville, 56-0. Five things I wanted to see Friday, and this is a little bit weird. We're going to work through them here, guys. Number one, at least two Joe Milton deep balls completed.
That didn't happen.
Yeah, but, I mean, he didn't play, so.
Yeah. It's not like he was back there chucking 10 of them. Yeah, that's good. Well, all right, we'll go with that. Incomplete. Number two, Harrison Bailey. I just said I wanted to see him. So we got that.
Yeah, we saw him.
Number three, at least two turnovers on defense. Passed that one flying colors.
Yep.
Doubled up on that number.
Six.
Number four, Byron Young unleashed. He did play a lot. I didn't notice any huge plays that he made. I don't even really look at his stats. And felt like he was
running into the kicker.
Was that him that ran into the kicker?
Pretty sure it was.
All right. Well,
I don't know if he got shoved into
made an
him
impact.
Or what went on.
So, I mean, he's out there. I guess you have to give him credit for that. And then number five, I wanted to see over 200 yards rushing. So,
did we get there?
Yes, we did. It was like 205 yards rushing. But
it was, a good chunk of it was our quarterback, right?
Yeah, the quarterbacks. Hooker and even I think Bailey had 15 yards or so rushing, something like that. But yeah, most of it was Hooker, and the running backs did not look great. But more alarmingly, the offensive line just didn't look very good. We did not get a lot of push, and I don't think you could just say, well, it's Cooper Mays and it's Ollie Lane playing and Kingston Harris. Like, I didn't see Cade out there mauling anybody. I saw Darnell Wright get another penalty. Carvin is okay, I guess. Spraggins has been not especially great. So, while technically, yeah, we ran for over 200 yards, I don't think anybody comes out of the Tennessee Tech game feeling super great about Tennessee's running game.
No.
And the thing that's going to be interesting this week is going back in the Florida series all the way back to when we started playing them every year again in 1990. It had been doing it for 31 years now, but for folks of a certain vintage, you didn't always play Florida every year back in the day. Was that stat they always used to show in the 90s and even into the 2000s, the team that has the most rushing yards will win? Well, you're
talking. Yeah, but didn't that get turned on its head?
Yeah,
in the 2000s.
Yeah, it was like 7 or 8 years in a row. I mean, it still generally holds true. It holds true in most football games, okay? But
I don't know, man. Florida outrushed Bama by a lot.
Well, yeah, that's what Saturday. I'm saying. That's you're not likely to do great in that statistic. If you struggled to run the ball with your running backs against Tennessee Tech, while Florida was, I wouldn't say running it down Bama's throat, but
kind of running it down
their throat. But here's the thing. I mean, this is going to be the first test of Josh Heupel's offense, which I don't want to say it's not predicated that it's predicated on the pass, that it's an air raid offense, because it's not. He wants to run the ball, and typically wherever he's been, they've been very balanced. But I don't think you're going to have it's unrealistic to expect a ton of success running between the tackles with your running backs on these guys. Now, a lot of coaches will say, well, you know, the short passing game, West Coast offense, you throw a little quick screen out to the wide receiver, and that's basically a running play. And we do that a lot. So can you hit some plays out there on the perimeter to Hyatt, to Peyton, to Velus that you turn into big gains, and you can kind of almost categorize those as run plays? This will be a big test of that. Like you said, Bear, I think that stat, the team that runs for the most yards, kind of got turned on its head the past couple of years, and not just this series, but college football in general. There's been a de-emphasis of, you know, line up and run the football. By the way, shout out to Auburn and all you old heads out there. And Auburn lined up in the I formation, ran a toss sweep for a touchdown with a fullback in the game. Old school football. I know that had to please a lot of our listening audience. But you just don't see that much, and you're not going to see that as long as Josh Heupel's the coach here. I mean, we're just not going to play that way, right?
No. I mean, hell, you saw it. I saw it yesterday. I mean, the yesterday. I mean, the Titans have probably the most dominating running back in all of football, and they had it, first and goal at, like, the half-yard line. And Tannehill's in shotgun. I mean, they scored on the play. But, I mean, they take the snap 6 yards at about the five and a half yard line.
Yeah, I don't – on that, I get what people were saying last week. It's like line up under center and sneak it. And that probably would have been a higher chance of success than what we did, handing it to Jalen Wright down there on that fourth down play. But for what the Titans do, if you're going to hand it off – I don't understand how lining up under center is any different. Like, to me, it's going to be faster if you're in the shotgun, right? And you have the shotgun snap and the quarterback just quickly hands it. To me, that wastes less.
There's less chance of everything getting jammed up and and any kind of miscue happening, with the snap.
To me, the only reason to line up under center in that situation is if you're going to sneak it, which is a very valid reason. Granted.
Yeah, but almost nobody does that anymore.
No. Well, I mean, go look last night. You've got the Ravens on 4th and 1 in their own territory, clinging to a 1-point lead. If you don't make it, the Chiefs win. I mean, they're what? They need what? 10 yards to get in field goal range at that point. I mean, it's game over. Now, granted, if you punt it to them, it might very well be game over. But they chose the aggressive play, and what do? They just snap it to Lamar and run straight ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's Lamar Jackson.
That's what we should have done. I mean, if we're not going to line up in the under center and sneak it, we should have just snuck it to Hooker, snapped it to Hooker and let him run straight ahead.
Yeah.
That would have been – my call, but they didn't ask me. I'm beginning to think they never will. So I'm going to give them, I'm going to be generous and give them 4 out of 5, which is really you want 5 out of 5 when you're playing Tennessee Tech. But, Milton, really, we'll give them 4 out of 4 because Milton didn't play, which is kind of odd, man. And nobody, I think we all kind of expected him to play. So that was a weird development, and it seemed to almost take the wind out of the fan sails before the game even started.
But, it was an odd game.
Yeah.
You know, number one, it's going to be almost impossible to get up for it because it's a glorified high school team. And then I think they're still a little bit hungover from the Pitt loss.
Oh, we didn't sit around and play with them like Kentucky did. UTC, I mean, good Lord. You thought the sad violins were out in force for the voluntary reaction Saturday. Can you imagine if that had actually been a game? If we needed some fourth quarter rally to actually win that? Oh my God. I mean, that would have been brutal. That would have been absolutely brutal. Stay with us. We're going to hear from Josh Heupel coming up on your Rocky Top Report, brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. It is The Drive, an overreaction Monday. Your phone calls coming up as well when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio. The Drive. All right, it's time for your Rocky Top Report, brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Before we hear from Josh Heupel, one quick scheduling note. Conference announcing today, the Missouri game will be a noon kickoff.
Yuck.
Yay.
Hey, at least we don't have to pay $6.99 to watch this one.
Is that SEC Network or ESPN?
SEC Network.
Yeah, no pay. I got to cancel that today. Ah, you know how hard it is for me to cancel stuff.
Yeah, I just keep it. I just roll with it.
Man, I can't. I'm at that point. We'll talk about that later. Let's get on with the Rocky Top.
All right, let's hear from Josh Heupel, Tennessee head coach, meeting with the media earlier today, addressing, just wrapping up the Tennessee Tech game, looking ahead to Florida, and he is asked about the quarterback situation. Spoiler alert, he's not talking about it. Here's Josh Heupel earlier.
Obviously, everybody in the building is excited. Opportunity to start conference play. Obviously, know the level of competition is going to rise this week. Looking forward to the challenge going down there on the road. First road game for us as a program here. And obviously, the week of preparation is going to be really important, paying attention to the details. And you get on the road, communication is going to be critical in all three phases of the game. Something that offensively is going to be critical in particular. But looking forward to the challenge, guys. Came in the building today, had an opportunity to watch the video with them, get some work on the grass, and ready to get going here. So with that, we'll open up for some questions.
Josh, obviously Florida had that close loss against Alabama. What are some of the things that stand out to you about the challenge they present?
Well, I think they're well coached in all three phases of the game. They make you beat them. Obviously, their ability to run the football on offense is a huge part. Top five in the country in rush offense. Defensively, I thought they were physical, tied in all three levels together throughout the course of the day. Defensive line was very disruptive. Special teams, they do a really good job as well. So they make you beat them. And just watching the game from the other day, obviously have an opportunity. Two-point play at the end to tie it up. It's a really good football team. Our guys are excited about that challenge.
Coach, if Joe is healthy, is he your starter, or do you have a quarterback competition this week?
I never speak in hypotheticals. Got a little bit of work last week. We'll find out where he is in particular, Tuesday, Wednesday here, and see where we're at that point as far as whether he'll be able to play or not.
You all talked about as a staff last week trying to add more depth in the secondary. How did you assist like a guy like Tamarion McDonald in his play over the weekend?
Yeah, big time play that everybody could see with the interception. Did a great job on a pressure. I thought he was locked into his assignments. Played really well. That's a young guy that played really well special teams wise. Given the opportunity the other day, got some reps, more reps on the defense side of the football. Love what he did.
Josh, you've talked about your offense maybe. You wanted to play faster, to execute crisper. How many moving parts are there to that? How many things are there that you're looking at saying, I want that to be better so this thing can go faster?
We want, when we're playing with tempo, we want to be more efficient. And that can be ball mechanics, it can be eyes, it can be alignment, assignment. All of those things can help us play quicker when we're playing within our tempo. Even when we're not playing in our tempo, the execution can be higher. You guys have seen opportunities that present themselves, in particular in the pass game, vertical pass game, that we have to start hitting. We're capable of it. Seen us do it. It's time to go execute that on the field.
Josh Heupel earlier today, his weekly meeting with the media, talking about, first of all, not going to deal in hypotheticals, not going to talk about the quarterback situation. I'm sure we'll talk about it all week long here, but we're not going to know whether or not Milton is going to play, whether or not he's going to start until about Saturday night at 7 p.m. That's when we'll have those questions answered. So really looking forward to talking about that over and over and over again all week. The defensive backs, man, four interceptions. What did we – McDonald, McCullough, Taylor, and Solon Page?
Yep.
The third? Can we call him SP3, by the way? I feel like that's
– Sure.
I feel like that's pretty good. Solon Page is – that's just a good name, man. And then you add the third on there, you go a little Roman numeral action. That's a strong name right there. No,
yeah.
Just me? Okay.
No, big fan.
big fan? Okay. Big fan. Thank you, Jake. I think that those guys are going to have to – look, if you're going to have any chance this weekend, you have to win the turnover margin like by more than one. Florida has to have a terrible game. You have to have a great game if we're going to be in that. So it was one of the five things I wanted to see, and we saw it. So that is good news. All right. Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Check them out online, BoKnowsHouses.com. That's BoKnowsHouses.com for Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. If you have any sort of real estate questions, give my man Bo a call. He is standing by 24/7 to take your phone calls. He will take time out of his day to coach you up on the fine art of maximizing your real estate potential this year. 865-742-1035 is his number. 742-1035. Tell him I sent you. You know, I go back and forth on Heupel so much. And I try to just, like, not worry about it too much because we're just – he's been here less than a year, and we're not going to know for a while whether or not he's capable of taking right. us where we want to go. But, I mean, like, sometimes I do find myself thinking, like, this guy's a goofball. Job's too big for him. He's not charismatic enough.
Right.
In those settings. I do. And then other times I find myself thinking, you know what? This guy's exactly what Tennessee needs. He's chill. It doesn't rattle him. He's up. He's clearly upset the other day about not playing well or playing as well as he thought they should play against Tennessee Tech. But he's not going to go on some Butch Jones or Fulmer kind of, we won the game. Like, you guys are being mean to us. He's not going to do that whole thing.
Right.
He generally doesn't BS the media, except for the quarterback. He kind of BSs us there, but every coach does that nowadays. But you know, like he's a new age kind of guy. He takes chances. What do we go for it on fourth down five times? I mean, you know, Pruitt and Botch would have been punting all those fourth downs. Ooh, don't want to give it to Tennessee Tech around midfield. Ooh, let's play the percentages, play defense, like. Past coaches, last night, Baltimore, they're punting that ball back to Patrick Mahomes and probably giving up a 70-yard drive in 30 seconds.
Absolutely.
I don't think our guy would do that. I think Heupel's going for it. He's playing to win the game. And it might get you beat every now and then, but, I mean, that's
– Yeah, but that's one of the things we've been asking for as a fan base for a long time, somebody that would play to win rather than – try not to lose.
Well, that's what the analytics say is go for it. You know, play to win. The percentages, you're truly playing. We used to say you play the percentages, but really that was just coach speak for go with your gut. Play mm-hmm. conservative. That's what General Nealon would do. Well, now we actually know the percentages because some math geek sitting in front of a computer somewhere has actually put in all the data from every play that's been ran for the past 100 years in every football game from the NFL to Pee Wee football, and we actually know what the percentages are. Although that was weird last night when Collinsworth was basically saying, you know, the Ravens, they don't even think about it. They just do what the computer tells them to do. Like they don't even – there's just some guy up there in the booth, and he's got all the spreadsheets in front of him. He's like, yeah, we go for it here. That's what we do. And like Harbaugh's like, okay, we're going for it. And it worked last night. Maybe it wouldn't have worked. They would have looked stupid, but I feel like Heupel does that, which is probably what you need to do nowadays.
Sure. Yeah, I have no problem with that. But like I said, I'm not that worried about Heupel. My biggest concern about Heupel is recruiting. It's not the X's and O's and developing and his offense and all that. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to be able to recruit at a high enough level to where we're not at just a ridiculous competitive disadvantage when it comes to conference play. That's my big fear with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if we can judge him on that yet because of all this NCAA crap, which if we play out the string, if we just try and run out the clock, like a lot of us want to do, I kind of lean that way now. I don't have, you know, I'm not all in on that camp because if we do that, then that cloud is just going to linger and people are going to continue to use it as a cudgel to batter us with in recruiting, which is clearly having an impact right now. But the other side of it is I think we actually catch a break for once in this lost in the wilderness period, and that we're going to get that 25 scholarship limit, signing limit revoked, so we can sign as many high school kids as we wanted to. And with the transfer portal set up the way it is, we can at any position go out there and find guys. I mean, there's going to be a plethora of dudes who can't get on the field this year at Alabama, Georgia, at Clemson, at Ohio State, wherever, that don't want to sit around and wait their turn for two more years. We'll be able to go to those guys and say, look, you need to come here. You can play in the SEC. Help us fast track this thing. We'll get you on the field right away. Look at Joe Milton. And by the way, Joe Milton might be one of those guys we end up having to recruit over. I don't know. We're going to talk about the quarterback thing coming up here in just a minute. Let's get some phone calls going. It's Overreaction Monday. We want to hear from you, your thoughts on last week, your thoughts on this week, your thoughts on the future. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. 546-8200, if you want to jump in here. Let's get this thing rolling. Back with more after this.
The Drum.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Jake Cruz along with you on an Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. Let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotline where Phil is up first today. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on The Drive.
What do you say, W?
What's up, Philly?
How you bearing Jack Snake doing?
Doing pretty good, man. Pretty good. My Titans got a big W yesterday. I'm currently embroiled in a fantasy back and forth affair, and you know, made some money, lost some money. It was a good weekend.
Well, there were some good pro football games yesterday, which is far cry from the Saturday of college football. I mean, there's only a couple of games in college football's worth watching.
I don't know, man. I thought it was a pretty awesome weekend of college football from what I was seeing. You had the
well, and the referees helped us lose two games. I mean, it's pretty cool. SEC refs, too.
Was that crew down in Memphis, was that the same one that said that dude in 96 that his knee wasn't down, Phil?
No, but I'll tell you, it was the referee, the head referee, was the same guy who had a whole crew. He has been suspended before.
It wasn't Mark Curls, really? Was it?
Wow.
I believe so.
That makes sense.
They may never – I wouldn't surprise me if that crew doesn't call another game this year.
That was brutal. Can't have that.
If it's not about wins and losses, what the hell is it for?
It's about building to where you can have those wins and losses. Yes.
Huh. Well, I can only think of 3 years where we were actually looked like we was building for something, and then that was the first year of Kiffin, and then – 2 years of Butch Jones when he squandered a bunch of talent.
I would agree with that. The Pruitt era was just, I mean, that was lost time. That was self-inflicted college football purgatory. No good really came of it. But, I mean, it's just, look, I was in that position a couple of years ago. And if it's all about wins and losses and you're looking at the Florida game, I would tell you, you're going to be mad. And I chose to deal with that by not watching in the past. I'm past that. I'm just looking at it differently. Yeah. I would love to win the game just like any fan, but I don't expect to. And to me, it's about getting through it healthy, hopefully, and learning something about your team, maybe establishing an identity at the quarterback position that can allow you to go to Missouri next week and get a win in what is truly a winnable game.
Well, I can take losing to Florida and Alabama because historically that's what we've always done. And you look at it, I don't see how they're going to win four games this year. Tennessee's awful.
Four games? You don't see four wins?
No.
South Alabama and Vanderbilt, you think we're losing both of those games?
Yeah, you might split South Alabama and Vanderbilt.
Split those games? Phil, are you high right now? Have you been hitting
the
sauce?
No, I'm not high. I'm low.
It's 3:49 in the afternoon.
I probably won't have a beer until Friday afternoon.
You're wasted. So. You're absolutely hammered. You think we're splitting Vanderbilt and South Alabama?
Well, stranger things will happen, honey.
That's insane. We're winning
5-5 of Vanderbilt the last 10 games.
Phil,
you know Vanderbilt's awful. I guarantee that play's close.
Phil, we're winning both of those games. We're beating South Carolina. That's 5 wins right there. And then it's about, can you pick one off between Missouri, Kentucky, maybe Matt Corral separates his shoulder in a tragic skiing accident between that. You don't know. There's a lot of football left to be played, man.
Yeah. I just don't think this is going to work. But I mean, we got to give the guy 3 or 4 years and see what happens.
All right. How about we give him today? How about we give him a week? How about we give him 2 weeks?
The problem is we give him too damn long. Look what we got.
A day is too.
Now.
A day is too long.
Huh? It's culmination effect over the years, W. It's culmination of bad leadership, bad coaching, and you still got some of the clowns, and they still let Fulmer walk on the campus over there. They really were serious about their program. They wouldn't let him on the campus after what he did to Tennessee football.
Phil, I love you, man. Hang in there. It's going to be a long week for Phil. My man's
They're going to put it to us down there. They're going to put 8 in a box and nurse the pass. You think we're going to play the pass?
I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see.
Man, let's get real.
Phil, thanks,
Florida.
Man.
See you.
We got to get some other people in here. Phil's already keyed up, man. It's Monday, Florida week. Jake, my man gets like this. Trust me, I've been dealing with him Florida week for years and years and years. It's only going to get worse. You just got to.
I mean, he is right about one thing. They are going to pack the line of scrimmage.
So.
They're just going to try and shut it all down.
Let's get Geraldo in here next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Geraldo Vall, what's going on?
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I am pretty peed off right now.
Oh,
and
dear.
I'm not mad at Josh Heupel. I'm not mad at Danny White like Bear is. I'm not mad at the player. I'm mad at Tennessee fans. So now is when we're going to give up. Now is the time that we've just decided, you know what, I'm just going to cash in. I'm going to give up. It doesn't matter anymore. You would think that we're about to all collectively jump off a bridge. What is going on? It's time to vol up. It is time to put on your big boy pants and get ready because it's Florida week. Now, I agree with you, Russell. It's probably not going to be a win this weekend. But you know what? We need to march down there like the 300 Spartans and give them everything we got. And it's a good measuring stick, like you said. Well, I mean, we know what we've got. But you know what? We're not going to give up. Let's not give up on Josh Heupel just because he inherited something Pruitt did. We cannot punish Josh Heupel for what Jeremy Pruitt did. That is not fair to him or this team. And I'm getting pretty pissed off about it, if I'm being honest.
Thank you, Geraldo Vall. Preach it, brother. Finally, one of our callers making some sense on these airwaves. It's about time.
It's just, you cannot punish Josh Heupel for this. And honestly, if we need to have some sort of huge therapy session today and tomorrow, that's fine. But come Wednesday, you better be ready for this game on Saturday, because I'm not even joking. I'm completely 100% serious when I say I believe this program feeds off the energy of its fans. And if we're putting energy out there that, hey, we're going to go down there and just get our butts beat, we're going to get our faces smashed in, guess what's going to happen? Exactly that. It's going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. How about we grow a pair and we go down there like men and face the Florida Gators, and who cares? Who cares what happens? We're going to go and go fight. It's going to be a street fight in the swamp.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And if you don't watch out, guess what? Your quarterback, your pretty little quarterback with his pulled hammy back there, he might be leaving on a gurney, Dan Mullen. You're not playing. Hey, what's the most dangerous animal in the world, Geraldo? A cornered animal. We're cornered right now. We're 19.5-point dogs. We're cornered. We're going to come out fighting.
We're the 300 volunteers backed against the wall.
Sparta! Geraldo, I love you, man. Thank you.
I love you, too.
Oh, man, I needed that.
I mean, didn't they lose at the end of that movie?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, that's what he's saying.
I mean, they got crushed because they had some dude like Geraldo.
You're missing the point. You're missing the point. It's not about wins and losses, man. It's about.
I mean, speaking up for the fans, we've been force-fed crap burger for going on 10 years now.
God. You and Phil.
I'm just saying.
Here's what I'm going to do. Have you ever seen that movie, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? I'm going to open up like a sanitarium, and I'm going to put folks like you and Phil in there. You come in there in your white shirt, and like you're going to come up every day, and I'm going to give you a little one of those McDonald's ketchup cups with some sedatives in it. I'll sedate you guys and give you some Prozac or something to.
You need something stronger than that.
You two can't go through the week like this, man. This is no way to live life. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Hour number two coming up.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Malone at Knoxville.